Hello, my friend. Welcome to Women of Hope. Hello, Carol. I like your hair today. Very pretty.
Thanks, Tammy. Do you know something? I had the strangest experience this morning. I looked in the mirror and for a moment, I thought my mother looked back at me.
Oh, Carol, I know what you mean. We often look more and more like our parents as we get older. And isn't it strange looking at your child and seeing your sister or your husband? Today, we're going to talk about families and how they affect us. It might help us to understand ourselves better and maybe help us to pass on the good parts of our family heritage. I enjoy listening to the older members of our family tell stories about when they were children and about their parents and grandparents. Hasn't the world changed a lot in just a couple of generations?
You know, all that history is a part of who you are. Your family has a history, even if it's not written in a book. It's written in you. There are patterns in families, like ways of raising children, for example, or family beliefs and values.
The sort of jobs you do are often passed on. Are your family farmers or tradesmen or medical workers or something else?
And there could be abilities that are strong in your family. Are you musical or good at math or artistic? Are you inventive or practical? My family tends to be very musical. We all learned to play instruments, and for many years, as I was growing up, we sang together as a family.
We teach skills to the next generation, too, don't we? How to cook, perhaps, or fix things, sew, or grow plants. My grandfather was a gardener, and he taught me how to prune trees and bushes, to cut off the old and dead wood by cutting cleanly at an angle above a healthy bud that's facing in the direction I want the tree to grow. He told me to prune in the coldest time of the year when the plant is not growing fast. I think of him every time I prune my rose bushes, and I feel proud that I have carried on his skill.
The most obvious thing that we inherit from our parents is our body. Do you look like your mother or your grandmother? Do you have her eyes or her hair? We each develop from a single cell that carries the genes from both of our parents. Now that's genes, G-E-N-E-S, by the way, not the blue jeans we wear. The genes determine everything about the new baby's body. Will this child be tall or have curly hair? Or big feet, or a turned-up nose.
It's not just our appearance. We can inherit some diseases. You may have heard of hemophilia, which stops blood clotting properly. If you marry close relatives, especially if this happens over several generations, there's more chance that your children will inherit diseases. My doctor was telling me that we can inherit a tendency towards some diseases. When you have a medical checkup, the doctor usually asks if there's any family history of heart disease, diabetes, epilepsy, or maybe even eye conditions. Some cancers, such as breast cancer, and some mental illnesses seem to be strong in some families. Don't feel that you're destined to get the disease. Often, it can be prevented. It's good to know if there are such problems in your family because it helps you to take care of yourself and get regularly checked so any problem can be treated quickly.
You know, I've noticed that in some families, most of the members are overweight. And I wonder, is obesity inherited?
Well, you can inherit some problems that make it more likely. But more often, it's the family's eating patterns that are the cause. That's passed on by example, not in the genes. If you come from a family with weight problems, you need to take special responsibility for your own eating and exercise and what you feed your children.
I was thinking that we get a lot of opinions and attitudes from our family, too. Sometimes We're told things are good or bad, and often we just learn these attitudes from the way that people act, without it ever being spoken. Do you just accept what you are told? Or maybe you just reject it because it comes from the family. Some people feel they need to rebel. Or do you consider those attitudes and really think about them for yourself? Then you can decide what you want to keep from the family and what you want to change.
That sounds like a wise way to do it, because family traditions are not always good. For example, alcoholics often have a number of other alcoholics in their family. Violent parents often were treated violently themselves and learned that way of behaving to children, and so the suffering goes on.
Do you blame your ancestors or your family for the way you are? Well, they certainly influence you, but is that the only thing? Sometimes scientists argue about whether we are mostly shaped by nature, that means how we're born, or by nurture, and that is our family, our surroundings as we grow up. Nature or nurture, both of them are very important, aren't they? They influence you a lot. But you know, you make choices and you can make changes. You can learn what is good from your family and also from other places. We hope you learn some good ideas from Women of Hope. Never forget, you have choices. You are able to think for yourself and decide what is right. Your choices will shape you just as much as your genes or your family heritage.
Our choices about food and exercise certainly shape us, and they shape our kids. We need to think about what inheritance we are leaving to the next generation. Whether you are a mother, grandmother, aunt, or friend, you are shaping young ones who listen and watch and copy. I think we need to be careful what we pass on to them. Let me ask you, what is the most important family value or tradition that you want to pass on? And is there one thing from your family that you don't want to pass on? Well, let's think about how to put that into practice this week.
Good idea, Tammy.
We've been talking about the way our families have shaped who we are now. Our friend Fran is with us again, and she's going to talk about Jesus and his ancestors.
Thanks, Tammy. It's good to be with you all. While you were talking, I was thinking about my family inheritance. Not much money, but some wonderful examples. My mother is 93, and she's still a great example to me in lots of ways. She's a great-grandmother. That's a real ancestor. Now, did you ever think that Jesus had ancestors? You might have wondered sometimes, was Jesus a real live person or a character from a myth or legend or made-up stories? Today we want to talk about what we can know from the Bible and other writings.
I see there are four accounts of the life of Jesus in the Bible. Three were written by people who knew Jesus personally. Their names were Matthew, Mark, and John. And the other one was written by Dr. Luke. And he had talked to many men and women who had been there.
That's right, Tammy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us that they are reporting what really happened from his birth until he died and then was raised to life again. These men said that there were still many eyewitnesses alive when they wrote, people who could confirm that they were telling the truth. So they would be careful to write the real facts. You know, sometimes when there has been an accident or a robbery, the police talk to different witnesses who often report different things that they noticed, even though they are all telling the truth. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a bit like that. Their four stories highlight different things, even when they are describing the same event. They sound like four witnesses of Jesus' life, they noticed different things or thought different things were important. But basically, they agreed on what happened.
Can you tell us exactly when Jesus was born?
Well, in the Bible, Luke wrote that Jesus was born during the reign of the great Roman Emperor Augustus. He gives the name of the governor of the region. Later, he tells us Pilate was governor and Herod was king at the time Jesus was killed. These names can be found in the records of the Roman Empire, so scholars can work out pretty closely when Jesus was born. It was probably in the year 4 BC, according to the dating system that most of us in the world use now.
Well, that makes it a bit more than 2,000 years ago. It's in real, recorded time, not back in prehistoric times.
Oh, yes. The Roman Empire ruled all around the Mediterranean Sea, and they kept lots of written records that still exist. Jesus was mentioned by a few other writers in the first 100 years after his death. There were Romans and Jewish men who had heard of him and his followers, but were not Christians themselves. And of course, there are letters and writings by other followers. Some of them are in the Bible, but there are many others. And the Bible also tells us where he lived. And these other writers agree that he lived in the Roman province of Palestine, which is now the country of Israel. It tells us the town that his family came from, Nazareth, and the town where he was born, Bethlehem, and then the city where he was killed, Jerusalem. All these places are still known today. You could go there.
So we know when Jesus lived and where he lived. Now let's talk about his family.
Is it important to you to know who your ancestors were? Many cultures all over the world keep records of their family lines, and some learn them off by heart.
Yes, I read that the Maori people of New Zealand were expected to recite all their ancestors back to when they first arrived in New Zealand, hundreds of years earlier.
I can't recite my ancestors, but I do have papers where their names are all written down, going back for a few hundred years. They were born in different countries, England and the Netherlands, Sri Lanka and Australia. We call it our family tree. Is it like that in your family? Do you know your family tree? Are you proud of your ancestors? Maybe you are, or maybe not. Some of us have things in our families that we don't like to talk about. Well, you're not responsible for what your ancestors did. Well, what about Jesus' ancestors? The New Testament is the part of the Bible that tells about Jesus and his followers. It starts like this. This is a list of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, a descendant of David, who was a descendant of Abraham. From Abraham to King David, the following ancestors are listed: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so it goes on to list 42 generations. There's another list that goes back even further. You see, the Jewish people did keep very good records of their families. We read about many of these ancestors in parts of the Bible that were written much earlier, the section we call the Old Testament. Jesus knew who his ancestors were. Some of them were kings. Some of them were just common folk. Some were people of different races and colours. The list includes women as well as men. God had promised these people, such as Abraham and King David, that he would use their descendant to bless and save the whole world. God kept his promise when he sent Jesus.
The early followers of Jesus had no doubt that he was a real flesh and blood human being. We mentioned John before. Well, he wrote, "We have heard him, seen him, and touched him with our own hands."
Yet they were also sure that Jesus was more than just an ordinary man. Let me tell you a story from God's true word, the Bible. Jesus and his followers had been traveling, walking the dusty roads from village to village, town to town, teaching about God's kingdom and healing the sick. These followers had seen some absolutely marvelous things. Now, here is the story. they were walking along, chatting, Jesus asked them, "Who were the people saying that I am?" "Oh," one said, "some say that you are John the Baptizer, who the king executed, come back to life." Another said, "I've heard them say you could be the prophet Elijah." "Yes, or one of the other prophets raised to life again." But then Jesus asked a more direct question. "Who do you say that I am?" I guess they looked at each other till Peter spoke up. Peter, who was so often the leader, quick to speak his mind. He blurted it out. "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Then Jesus said, "You are right, Peter. You didn't work this out for yourself. God has shown this to you."
Let's think about this story. Who did people say Jesus was? I would expect people to say Jesus was a great teacher and that he performed miracles.
And maybe that's why they linked him to John the Baptizer, who had been a famous preacher, or to Elijah, who had done miracles long before. But that was a very bold thing for Peter to say, wasn't it? Remember, he called Jesus the Messiah. Do you know what the word Messiah means?
It means the same as Christ. Messiah and Christ both mean the anointed one, the person appointed by God, the Savior who God had promised long ago to send into the world. The people were all looking and hoping that he would come to rescue them from the Romans who had conquered them.
And then what else did Peter say? He said, "You are the Son of the living God." This was going even further. He recognized that Jesus was much more than a good man or a prophet. He was truly divine. Well, that's something for you to really think about, isn't it? Because Jesus' question still hangs in the air. Who do you say that I am?
Who is Jesus? We'll be hearing more stories about Jesus on Women of Hope, true stories that will help you make up your mind about who Jesus really is and what he's like and why so many people still want to follow him. We really believe this, that Jesus lives today, that he values you, that he loves you, and he wants to bring you hope.
So we hope you can be with us each week on Women of Hope as we share together things that are important in our daily lives and things that are important for our souls.
And I'll look forward to joining you sometimes to tell these stories of Jesus.
We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.